Oak Rehab employment piece. That's goal A. Goal B focuses on our pre-employment transition services. And then our last goal, goal C, is the innovation and expansion goal, which is really more designed around, we haven't actually worked on that goal yet. That's our last one. So they're in draft. We've kind of sent them along. I'm not sure, we're still working on our timeline. I know Amy and I met about, when we need to have it all in, and it obviously will need to go at some point out to public hearing before the state plan is finalized. But that's where we're at. I don't know if you have anything to add, Amy, like regarding that, because I know.
Yeah, I appreciate the input from the committee. I think that'll help really make sure that our goals are responsive to your needs. We're in contact with RSA. We're going to make sure that between BSBY and BRS, we're kind of working on the same timeline, because as you all may recall, our voc rehab plans then become part of the statewide workforce plan. So we need to coordinate with the Department of Labor and the adult ed programs to make sure that we're turning everything in on the same time and we are meeting the federal requirements. So we'll keep our eyes on that, make sure that we have things done in a timely fashion. So really helpful to have the input and the goals being shaped by this group to make sure that they're responsive.
All right, thanks, Amy. Mary, I had a question with regard to, do we have a next meeting date set up?
We don't. Yeah.
Yes, we do. January 20th, I think. I have to go look, but yeah, you set up a date.
Oh, I guess hold we on. Did. Okay. January 20th. If you guys set up a date, we need to send out that link.
Yeah.
I've been working on our SRC stuff, so there's just so many different meetings that I've been.
Of course.
On. Yes, I'll send. I'll have Zach actually, who's on the phone, who helped set up the meeting last time, send everybody a link for January 20th. So yeah, so we gave ourselves a little bit of time over the holidays to, January to go over the draft goals again to see if there's any changes. And I have gotten some input from some members to, revamp some of the goals slightly to maybe to add another goal. So we'll bring that to the next meeting, and we'll look at goal C.
Am I correct in understanding that this plan would be in effect through federal fiscal years 23 through 26?
I believe it is 3 years. Amy, am I correct? Like it's a 3 year?
Yes.
I have to look. The WIOA plan's a 4 year plan, so I think this is like a 2 year mid-year update, but I'll have to look at that again to make sure that we have the right information.
Okay, because I'm just trying to figure out a timeline that since federal fiscal year 23 starts on 1st October next year, that would suggest a timeline that RSA would want to see that sometime around maybe July or late summer, which would suggest a public hearing date sometime in mid to late spring.
Yeah, I actually think it may be even sooner than that, Al, because it's part of a statewide plan. I think it's earlier. I think it's we'll get the timelines for you to be sure. I have some guesses in my head, but I don't want to put them out there publicly.
Yeah, it just occurs to me that there are other reviewers besides RSA we need to look at.
Yes, there are.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I get how that would maybe muddle the timeline a little bit. All right. Thanks, Amy. Any further discussion on the state plan or questions? Hearing none, I'm going to move on to the next agenda item, which is the Bureau update. I'm going to take a point of personal privilege here, if I may, and ask Amy if you could maybe offer us a few words on the direction in which the Bureau may be going and what your thoughts are on perhaps impending retirements. I know everybody's talking about this impending wave of retirements, which Mary not materialize in the way that people expect. And I think a little bit of clarity would make us all feel a little better. So, Amy, I'm going to give you the floor, then we will go on to the business enterprise section of the Bureau on Data.
Sure. Thanks, Al. And, you know, I don't have any concrete answers for you, but I can tell you that we are concerned. I'm concerned about the number of retirements that are potential across our department and across state government. I would say between now and July 1st, we're just going to see, you know, some expected and some unexpected retirements from people. We have folks that are making decisions to go earlier than the regular retirement age. So, you know, we don't always know who's going to retire. We have, you know, we can do some planning based on who's eligible, both for regular retirement and early retirement. So we kind of have to plan for a worst case scenario and move forward. And I do, you know, we do have some concerns across the department about that, which is part of why we're taking a little bit more time and thinking about, you know, the Bureau and how we make sure that we continue to meet the needs of individuals who are blind or have visual impairments, along with the needs of other people with other disabilities and older adults here in Connecticut. What we want to do is find the best and most efficient way to continue the services that we're providing, and also start to talk about, in this new world that we're in, right? Everything's changed. Things have changed in the way we do our work. Things have changed in the way we support people who go to work, and things have changed in the way people access even social and community activities. So Brian leaving is just one piece of the puzzle, right? There's a lot that we need to think about in terms of how do we respond to this dynamic environment. And that's been kind of our mission since, you know, Beth's question about, you know, have we consolidated? Well, we've been a department for 10 years now together, and we've found ways to take advantage of having other disability programs and using those to the advantage of individuals who are blind. We've been able to tap into assistive technology and marketing and other pieces. We've been able to use some of the resources from our other vocational rehabilitation program to support the needs that Mary might have in the VR program. So just trying to think through what's the most efficient way. And we're going to take a little bit of time. Back to Steve's comments earlier, Beth's comments earlier, we have every intention in that process of talking to the community to make sure that we understand what the needs of staff are, but we also understand the needs of our customers in that process. So that'll be part of what we do moving forward. And I do see the advisory board as being an incredibly helpful resource in that, because you bring some diverse perspectives to the table, and it gives us a chance to listen to what those perspectives are and hopefully be able to create a system and an organizational structure that continues to meet our needs, but doesn't just keep doing things the way we've always done them. It gives us a chance to amplify what's working and hopefully move into some new ideas, new opportunities for demonstrating the great work that this Bureau can do. So I know that doesn't give you the specific answers, Al, but hopefully, you know, gives you a little comfort that I have every intention of continuing to work with the advisory board to kind of understand those needs and really have some community conversations about next steps.
Thank you, Amy. That's helpful. And I just want to remind everybody that we can't expect to replace Brian. Brian is unique in the level of commitment he brought to this program, and to expect that of any individual going forward, I think is unrealistic. So we have that going with us, that we've had Brian for over 30 years. He has in some way been guiding VR or the agency. So I think as time passes and we recognize that moving forward may include a different organizational structure for BESB, that the commitment that has been demonstrated by the staff will always be with us. I've been with the program since I was 2 years old. That's over 60 years ago. And the one thing that has been consistent throughout has been the commitment of staff. And I don't foresee that changing in any way. So if that offers some reassurance, then I think we should keep that in mind and just have a little patience, and we'll see how things work out as time goes forward.
Yeah, Al, I fully echo those comments. You know, our staff are, they're great, right? They do great work, but they're going to be taxed over the next few months as people start to retire. We're seeing it already. So trying to figure out how we can get the right people into the right positions and make sure that we can recruit new people. You guys know we've struggled in certain positions to recruit the right people. There just aren't the folks that are trained out there. So making sure that we're partnering with the right education groups, the right training programs that are out there, making sure, as Beth said earlier, looking at some best practices from other states. It's a great opportunity, but we want to make sure that our staff don't get overtaxed. So, you know, we may need to lean on you a little bit when you start saying, let's look at some best practices. We'd love some opportunity to hear from you on what you see some of those things as being, and then we can take that into consideration as we reshape. And it's not just reshaping BESBY. This is going to be reshaping aging and disability services and kind of what we can do and who we have left and what the opportunities of this new, our new reality look like. I wasn't going to say new reality. It's becoming a little bit overused. So never mind the new reality.
It's ingrained as we get, Elvin. We're bombarded with those words every day. Sooner or later, they're going to leak out. All right, Amy, thank you very much for your comments. I take great reassurance in those. Any further comments before we move on to BEP? Hearing none, I have a housekeeping item, if you'll indulge me. I would like to ask that if you are not speaking, if you could please mute your microphone, because what happens is I'm looking at the video here, and whenever somebody coughs or sneezes, their phone or their video is going to come up right up front and center, and it's a little bit distracting. If you're on the phone, please hit star 6, and if you want to speak again, hit star 6, and if you will hover over your image, you will see that on the lower left-hand corner, there's a little microphone icon there, and if you just click on that, you can mute it, and the video is right next to it. Click on that, you can mute it. You'll know it's muted and your video is off if there's a slash line through the microphone or through the video. So I would just ask that as a courtesy, if you could please do that so that the meeting can go on as orderly as possible.
And Al, you have invited a new member to the advisory board today, I guess.
Oh, we have?
The cat.
Oh, George! Oh, you see? Oh, George is on the camera.
George is on the camera, full front and center. Yeah.
George has been harassing me because he wants to play, and I'm afraid I can't.
George may need to go on the attendance list.
Here you go, George. Yes, he might. He would take up quite a bit of space on it too, because he weighs 20 pounds. So anyway, all right, George, if you would move your tail, I would be grateful. I'm going to give you the floor, Tyrell, for the BEP presentation.
All right, sounds good. I'm not going to use the words new reality. I crossed them all out of my notes because I was going to pour that into everything I have to update, but we'll see. Thank you. BEP currently has 19 out of 27 business locations in operation. This number includes the seasonal locations we operated this past season, which were observed to have done pretty well despite COVID. So we were happy about that. This is a significant increase in business resumption for our program from the last program update I provided back in June. Over the past few months, BEP has curated a partnership between a third-party company and the business managers to transition cafeterias into micro-markets. This partnership is considered ideal as the company has the buying power to allow for competitive retail pricing to continue to be offered in some of the state buildings. In addition, they have the staffing to provide delivery of the food items offered to the micro markets, in which essentially was a problem for many operators in prior thought before this partnership. So this is good. The locations in which we've just converted are 55 Farmington Avenue, 470 Capitol Avenue, 505 Hudson Street, 450 Columbus Boulevard, as well as the Wethersfield DMV. We've received positive feedback and appreciation for the program's ability to provide an alternate option while observing the minimal building occupancy in many of these buildings at this time. The Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors recently voted to utilize a Randolph Shepherd priority and pursue the potential opportunity to operate the Greenwich Point Beach concession. At this time, we're working with the town of Greenwich to further the process in finalizing this opportunity, and expect this operation to be an excellent financial opportunity for the manager assigned. So we are pleased with that. As we focus on restoring operator facilities, we unfortunately had to relinquish two of the community colleges recently, Manchester Community College and Middlesex Community College. Both locations have been identified to be non-viable locations over the past two semesters. Each of the operators who ran those locations have been observed to have lost more than $10,000 in total trying to maintain their position during this time of COVID. And as we all know, COVID remains, and the college safety protocols have as well, significantly reducing the on-campus population as well as increasing the online classes. And in turn, this is, you know, the perfect storm to affect any cafeteria. So unfortunately, we're just unable to hang in there to see. You know, we're talking about people's livelihoods, and it is certainly my position to make sure we do not allow this to affect or go any further. You know, the good thing about the two operators who will no longer be operating these locations, they were able to receive PPP funds. So essentially, yes, they did lose $10,000. However, it was through other means of funds. However, those funds have now pretty much dried up, so they cannot risk trying to absorb a non-viable location going forward. So obviously the Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors, as well as myself and others in the administration, have agreed that it was time to waive our rights. And, you know, we will certainly look back to obtain these locations down the line should we find viability or observe viability in the future. In my previous update, I informed the board of the program's decision to submit a proposal to operate food service at the United States Coast Guard Academy. Unfortunately, our proposal was denied due to the pricing portion of the proposal, which was established by the teaming partner selected by the BEP manager assigned, in which our proposal was significantly higher than the winner. You know, we certainly hope to reposition ourselves in the future to secure this opportunity. I think we've learned a lot in the process. This was my first time going all the way through with it, and I picked up many key pieces that I think will allow us to maybe position operators in the future to have the strongest chance in obtaining the opportunity. So it was definitely a learning curve, and we took a lot out of it, and I think it'll strengthen our position in the future. Overall, the field reps continue to do a great job, work with each other, assign business managers on a weekly basis in various capacities. Most importantly, we as a team continue to have weekly meetings, trying to strategize ways to assist managers in increasing their profitability during this time. In addition, our program continues to participate in various virtual meetings, trainings, and conferences to assure we're up to date with important information or guidance to assist the business managers moving forward. Our statewide vending partnership with Pepsi has been great. Vending Division Supervisor Tracy and myself continue to work with Pepsi, having weekly meetings regarding any of the areas of concerns, and also working with Pepsi to try to identify additional opportunities that will benefit the program and in turn the customers in whom we serve. All in all, I'd say the program remains busy, optimistic, and assisting operators in getting back into business in a manner that gives them the overall satisfaction you know, they had pre-COVID. So, BP is, we're re-identifying ourselves at the moment. I think the reality is it takes physical in-person bodies to, you know, provide the best opportunity. But, you know, I think the focus for our program going forward is to maybe capture these seasonal locations, these locations in which provide public opportunity, and that, I think, will give us the best chance to provide real lucrative opportunities to the operators. In the meantime, I think the micro-market opportunities are, I don't want to call them a safety net, but essentially it provides the operators income. You know, it may not be where they left off, but it certainly provides them income, and it also provides the buildings in which we serve, you know, something at this time of uncertainty. But we'll, you know, we're constantly working with building management. We're constantly working with those folks that are in charge to try to get any information to be able to pivot quickly to be able to increase opportunity where we identify it. So that's where we stand.
Any questions for Tyrell?
Yes, this is Eileen. I have a question about the micro markets. So what exactly does what is the interaction of the DEP operator with a micro market site?
I'll answer that. Micro market is a manless concept business opportunity. So essentially, it's a kiosk setup, and with that kiosk setup, it allows for any person to be able to purchase essentially any item that's offered in that area of space. Essentially, there's no employee base. It's all individualized. So the operator who has teamed up with the micro markets, their responsibility is to essentially act as the liaison between the customer and the third party company in which they teamed up with. So at this time, the operators are currently at the location at minimum twice a week to be able to assist customers with this transition of opportunity, because the micro markets have been established in locations that previously operated as cafeterias. So this is a new world for many people in the building. So we're asking that the operators be present at the location for a few things. One, establish what the population in whom they serve is looking for as far as options to serve. In addition, be able to provide guidance on how to complete the process of transaction of this new micro market opportunity. So the operators are working with the third party company, establishing, you know, basically essentially assisting on increasing the items of offering to make sure we meet the building's needs. But that's predominantly their key points now. So the physical aspect of operations, so them actual food on or in the refrigerators and stocking, that's kind of gone away because of the teaming partners' position of doing the fills on a essentially day-to-day basis. But the business end is more, I should say, has kind of peaked or superseded the physical responsibility. So they're essentially the liaison between the building and
that's a very clear answer. Thank you. My other question is, with these sites that are closing, as you mentioned, the community colleges, the two community colleges, what happens to the DEP operator in terms of retirement benefits, medical, and all that kind of stuff? How are they protected?
Great question. So, two things. The two operators who have decided to no longer pursue future opportunity, one actually oversees other sites, so she's perfectly fine and everything remains. The other operator is going to most likely retire. Actually, I just spoke with her earlier today. She's on the fence of retirement. However, either way, they will have at least 4 months, if they are on the medical insurance, to be able to retain their medical health insurance during this time. I think 4 months is a fair offer to allow someone to make a final determination as to what they would like to do in the future. You know, I think it's important, and I've always made this clear in our program, that these are times, unfortunately, that none of us saw. And so with that, where we're, as a program, unfortunately, on the bad end of the stick as far as the effects of COVID. And with that being said, I try to make it clear to every operator, do not let the Business Enterprise Program be the end-all for you. You know, I'm always letting them know, should opportunity present itself and they're on the promotion to transfer list, then they can certainly, you know, seek other opportunity. But if not, then, you know, I'm always pushing the assistance of Voc Rehab to be able to, you know, further their work responsibility. It is my job, and I still listen to field reps, that we will make sure that every operator that is in this program essentially gets the assistance and the ongoing assistance needed to fulfill whatever they're looking for in the future. So rest assured that they're in good hands under my eyes.
Well, thank you. I mean, I appreciate the difficulty of this whole situation, and I thank you for your very thorough answers.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Any other questions for Tyrell? Tyrell, so I have a question. With regard to full-service cafeterias, do we have any full-service cafeterias right now operated by BEP?
We do. So Norwalk Community College remains. We actually operate two sides at Norwalk Community College. However, due to the effects of COVID, we were able to just operate under one. We're operating at Tunksis Community College. And then the seasonal locations are essentially our over-the-counter. But as far as state buildings, no. Bridgeport Mental Health, we are anticipating resuming soon. They were doing some modifications in the building. But no, you know, I think this, obviously, the telework model has just drastically reduced population in the state buildings. And, you know, I'm working with each building head in regards to obtaining their weekly numbers and attendance. But, you know, it's not only just the attendance that's affecting the food service. I mean, it's the cost increase, right? I mean, this is something that we all know, that we're all watching on the news. It's probably that, you know, there's just an increase across the board in this country that is just has never been seen. So when you factor that in, and then you factor in, you know, the low workforce, or I should say the workforce shortage, it's the perfect storm for the food service industry. So this right here, I think offering these micro markets will at least be able to provide, you know, and that's the goal. It provides on both ends. And you know, we only hope that essentially we'll be able to see increased populations in state buildings, which will allow for resumption of cafeterias.
Great. Thanks, Tyrell. The BEP and you have certainly been handed an enormous set of challenges with regard to, in particular, planning for the future, because there's still a great deal of uncertainty as to when we will reach a point where the pandemic recedes more into the background and people are converging in these buildings and places where we can establish cafeterias. So I commend you for keeping it together throughout all of this and keeping the program going. Very good. One more time, I'm going to ask if there are any further questions for Tyrell.
Al?
Yeah, Steve, go ahead.
I can't remember this, but did we ever have the opportunity to get involved with the Coast Guard Academy facilities?
Tyrell did take that up earlier in his presentation, but Tyrell, you want to take that one up again with Steve?
Yeah, absolutely. So with the Coast Guard, we were notified we did not win the
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe next time. Here's hoping. All right. Thanks, Tyrell. Appreciate what you do for us, and thanks for the presentation. Our next presenter is going to be Voc Rehab. Mary, you have the floor.
Hi, Okay. So I'll start with program